You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on December 4th, 1987.
This is a time of the year when weather can be extremely changeable, leaving us in an occasional quandary as to what clothes are the most appropriate from day to day. Have you ever thought about the daily dilemma of wildlife who have already committed to their winter clothing? When I lived in Baldwinsville a few years back and did most of my creative work in a converted chicken house studio, I had many occasions to think about that. Working there in the winter required the lighting of a fire in the stove and allowing time for the inside temperature to climb from maybe the 20s to the 50s before I could even consider starting work, and in the middle 60s before I could do it comfortably. It caused me to reflect some on how much our activities are climate-regulated, as are those of wildlife. I still had a few splits of good oak wood, whose pinkness and slightly rank smell indicated that it had not been fully seasoned yet. And I had let my kindling pile deplete, so my first task had to be to acquire some. Unseasoned oak, though great in heating potential, is hard to start. This required me to reorient my thinking in terms of dress. What's comfortable for painting inside is not adequate for foraging outside. I changed, provided some extra insulation next to the skin. Fine. I was comfortable at the outset, even in the bitter cold. True, my hands were stiff by the time I got the chainsaw going, but otherwise I could comfortably pause for a minute and watch the early morning movements of the crows. They were talkative and active, and I soon suspected that their curiosity was not idle. They had located a horned owl, who tried to maintain his dignity in the face of their harassment. When I turned my attention to the vigorous task of making kindling from some dead seasoned branches, however, my discomfort began to mount. Now I was overdressed and began to perspire. Eventually, I was forced to shed my outer coat. By the time I had a week's supply of kindling ready and began to gather it up, I felt the need for the coat again. In fact, I experienced a downright chill. I bundled up my wood, packed it in, and lit my fire. I attempted to occupy myself with more active preparations, which normally would have gone along well inside, away from the wind. But because of the dampness of my inner clothing, I found myself hovering close to the stove frequently. I had to change back to dry, lighter clothes again to find comfort while the temperature rose slowly. By the time it reached painting temperature, I had made a series of notes about my own experience and some observations about how wildlife meets the same set of circumstances. My error was in not being more careful about choosing my dress at the outset. But how about wildlife, furred or feathered, which can change clothes only a couple of times a year? The crows and the owl demonstrated a couple of mechanisms which birds use to meet the exigencies of their changing environment. Activity, such as a crow's, helps when it's very cold, as does the general fluffing out of the feathers to provide maximum dead air insulation when at rest. That's what the owl had done. Further, the owl had sought out a sheltered spot in the heart of the pine tree, where the dense foliage provided an extra measure of protection from wind chill. Fine for cold, you may say, but how do they make out in a day when the sun is shining and the temperature soars, what the duck hunter calls bluebird weather? Then birds may take a page from the waterfowl's diary and sit quietly, feathers plastered tight against the body, and bask, a minimal challenge to the energy system. Mammals show similar patterns. One of the most beautiful sights I've seen abroad at a frosty winter day is a large red fox, every hair on end, quietly researching the snowbanks under the hedge. His sleek red coat, beautifully fluffed, makes a striking contrast against the white snow etched with cold blue shadows. He may start a field mouse or a rabbit which has sought shelter from wind chill in the insulating snow cover. Such a redoubt, a snow chamber or cavern, may subtract 20 to 30 degrees from the wind chill. This extra warmth can be life-saving during a blizzard. At such a time, the raccoon may hole up for several days until better conditions or hunger bring him forth. So we see, at the extremes, too warm or too cold, the creature who can't light a fire or doff his clothes may just resort to a sheltered retreat and inactivity. On the milder days, he can forage with comfort, changing coat or feathers to the extent that his muscles, body covering, and internal heating system allow. a simple but effective wintering device which completely eliminates the need for closets, bureaus, moth-proofing, and laundry, even cold medicine. While the knife does not often succumb to cold, if food and shelter are sufficient. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.